Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your ORG Ochoa. He is your 75, two-time Super Bowl champion, college football Hall of Famer, and hopefully somebody with a lot of golf on their plans for the rest of the spring. Tony Casillas, TC, what up?
You know, everything's doing good. Let me ask you this real quick. I don't know. You may collect hats or you may have things that you like, that you like to have. This morning, before I started the show, I was in my closet, and I don't know what I'm thinking, but I must have like 100 T-shirts, RJ. So I'm trying to compartmentalize. I'm like, why do I need something I haven't wore 15 years ago?
And sure,
everything's like crammed in there, but that's kind of some of the little sidebar, little housekeeping. I just don't want to part with, but
sure.
Anyway, I don't know if you had that problem, you know, stuffing stuff in your drawers and you're like, hey, you may want to just like downsize to maybe 50 or 25 t-shirts. So, because how many t-shirts can you actually wear?
Yeah. Anyway. So, well, I have a lot of thoughts here. First of all, you need to watch, I never watched it, but there was that really popular Netflix show about the woman who was really great at organizing. And
right.
And I think the phrase was like spark joy. So you got to go watch it, because I think she had like a way to fold shirts that, you know, makes it easier. So maybe that's what you need to do later on this week. But beyond that.
Well, it's polar opposite, because you've got my side of the closet and it's kind of a little disarray and unorganized. Then you have my wife, which everything is like everything is categorized. Spring, winter, everything will be in uniform size, and then you got mine. So I think it may be, that's a good recommendation. I'm gonna try that. Although my wife's been trying to get me to do that for the last 27 years, and God, I just, you know, before this lifetime's over, maybe I need to look at more organization.
I have since I've been like, maybe since I was in high school, my closet is color coded, and I used to catch a lot of heat from my friends about that. Be like, you have your closet color coded? It's like, yeah, because time is money and I don't want to waste time like looking for stuff. But so my other thought here is I don't really collect shirts. I do collect a lot of caps. Like if I go somewhere like a golf course or something, I typically like a cap, just because I feel like you can wear a cap more often than you can wear a shirt. You know what I mean? But so my
question, you always have your favorite one though. You may have right. 25 caps and you may have, as I mentioned, 50 t-shirts, but you always go back to the same one. So it's right. Just the other ones are just kind of sitting around, but yeah, I get the collection aspect of it.
Well, so you should do this thing. I've never done it. I've thought about it, but have you ever seen the people that make the blankets at like a quilt out of t-shirts? And they do, it's like a grid. It's like four shirts as one row. And so it's like,
oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, I've not seen that.
It's like a 4x4 grid, and they take the front, like the main, like the chest part of the shirt, just so you get to keep it. And then they put like a, like sew like an actual blanket underneath so that you know, it still keeps you warm. So you got to do that. That's a quick way to burn through, you know, 20 or so shirts.
And my shirts are double X, so that'll cover a lot of space.
my last question on the t-shirt front, I did not expect to be talking about this, but did you ever have
we get into that,
right? Dominating the 90s, did you ever have a Senor Frogs shirt? Was that your thing? Did you ever have a Senor Frogs shirt or tank top?
You, every time you go to, you know, Cozumel or
right.
you go to Cancun or whatever it is across, you know, in Mexico, Yeah, I'm a Hispanic guy. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, cool. That was a good, I mean, like, obviously I was way too young, but, you know, like growing up, my dad and my uncles, like that was the brand, you know what I mean? For all the dudes was to have some Senor Frog stuff. So very cool. Well, Tony.
And the Giggling Marlin was a good one. And Lucas. So that was another one. I don't have it. I think my son has that. He collects. That's the thing about it also. And I know we're getting off topic. We'll get into the other teams playing in the Super Bowl and the Cowboys, how close they are. But he likes that throwback stuff, like the Corona, anything that wears top shirts too. So it's going to either that I donate it or donate it to him, or he just comes in and just raids my closet.
Yeah, on like this actually kind of goes full circle in a way. I remember one time when I was in college, a late night after studying, of course, at Whataburger, and just sitting there with my friends, and some dude walked in with a Super Bowl 28 championship cap. Obviously, the game you guys won, and I still don't have one, but I saw that, and now I think the Cowboys website sells those things, but at the time, like, you couldn't find that anywhere. I walked up to that dude because a friend of mine there knew the guy, and so I was her name was Morgan. I was like, hey, Morgan, go tell this dude I will give him $30 right now for this cap. And he was like, it's my vintage cap. And I was like, dude, no, like that, you, I'll get you any other cap to be your vintage cap. Like, this is an important cap.
A piece of memorabilia there.
Yeah.
Hey, to that point right there. So there was a shirt that was made back in 25 years ago. So reflecting as you brought up the shirt that you saw your buddy had, my son actually bought one. It's got the faces of different, I think it was the boys of, I think it was 1993. I don't know what Super Bowl was. So it had all these different faces on there, and it had mine. Mm-hmm. And I gave my son had bought it or got it off eBay or someone he'd gotten it from his buddy or whatever. He bought it. You know what he did? He sold it.
What?
I said, dude. Yeah. I said, dude, I said, you sold it. Why didn't you just give it to me? Well, Dad, you couldn't wear it. I said, well, I'll just keep it.
Yeah, I got a drawer full of 30 shirts right now. I'll just add it to the pile.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's something I don't have. And I'm like, you really actually sold it? And he goes, yeah, I did. And I asked him, well, how much you sell it for? And I'm like, oh my God. So it was probably for beer money. I don't know what it's for. I'm like, dude, I would have paid you $10 more than what you paid for it.
Right.
Anyway, he did have to part ways with that. His beer tab was too much in college. I don't know. Who knows?
It's interesting because y'all's dominance came in an era of sports fashion, I think, where every championship team got the caricature drawings. You know what I'm talking about? Like the little, I think it was more popular with like NBA title shirts, but there was always the little figure drawings of dudes. I was going to ask, do you have any of your Super Bowl championship caps or t-shirts or anything like that still, or that's all gone at this point?
Yeah, I do. I have like a couple of jackets. I mean, I have
jackets,
the caps. So there's one from 93. It's a Reebok. I mean, it's a limited edition, trust me. And so it's so funny because I have stuff up in my attic and I actually had a memorabilia guide. I mean, stuff that I'm like, what am I going to do with it? So, it was so funny. My wife and I are redoing a room upstairs and there was a suitcase. We're like, what's in a suitcase? We open it up and mind you, it's been probably, the suitcase has been upstairs. We've been in our house for almost two and a half decades. And so we open it up and it's so funny, RJ. There's this like throwback, these leather jackets that had these kind of Arsenio Hall, you'll have to Google it, but it just these kind of like really modern, it just had different, it was definitely a 90s leather jacket, different colors. And then there was this jacket in there that said pro players. It was an NFLPA jacket. And it had this big carriage on the back, like you mentioned. And my son goes, I'll take that. And then I had this Orange Bowl jacket. It was like a windbreaker.
We're
talking back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Bright orange, look like you are a construction worker where you're working on a construction site with people, or you're actually going hunting where people can see it, right?
Right.
So that, and then the Reebok jacket, which has, it's embroidered. It says 19, it was Super Bowl 28.
Okay.
And my son
in the
got
ATL.
That.
Right.
Yeah, so that was when we opened up all the stuff in there. I'm like, where the hell did that come from? I haven't seen it in 20 years, but yeah. My son probably, unless he keeps selling it.
I did not expect to talk about this stuff. I do think that people find this really interesting because, like generally when you talk to a former Cowboy, it's at like an autograph session. So you don't get to hear this kind of stuff, which is why this show is so awesome that you do with us. So I'm just going to keep going down this rabbit hole. My first question, I can't believe I've never asked this before. What was it like to
down
play?
Down the hole we all go.
Right. I want to come back to the, gear because I find all of this really interesting, but I've never asked you, what was it like to play Super Bowl 28 in Atlanta? Like that had to have been cool for you.
Well, it was cool because it's back to back and going back to my stomping ground. And I really didn't part ways really well with Jerry Glanville. There was just this butting of heads, and I just I didn't fit in. I wasn't one of his guys. And so, you know, 91, I was able to basically orchestrate this trade, threaten him that I was going to retire. Ken Harrock at the time was a GM. And so finally was able to work the trade. And so to go back there after 3 years of being in Dallas and the first year Dallas went to the playoffs in 91 and 92, we won the Super Bowl. We're back to back, kind of like the Kansas City Chiefs are now. And to go back there and just feel like, hey, man, look at me now, because then the Falcons were so, it was, I would say it was a doormat of the NFC West at the time. And to be able to go back there and play in a place that you were drafted and really didn't end on the best terms, it was kind of nice to like throw it up in Jerry Glanville's face. So I did get a little satisfaction out of that, but it was tremendous.
That's
I
awesome.
Do remember this in the venue. There was all these performances inside the I believe at the time it was the Georgia Dome.
Right.
And I just know that, you know, when you do something like that, all the smoke and effects of it, and you could not breathe. It's hard enough to breathe in a game like that because emotions are so high during the Super Bowl. You're like, what? I mean, this is ridiculous energy. But the fact that you couldn't breathe in, you breathe in all this like fumes and I'm like, you're hyperventilating. I just remember like the first 5 minutes is very difficult. It was on the sidelines. The fact is hyperventilating because all the, you know, the emotion and adrenaline, but the fact I couldn't breathe, man, I'm like after 5 minutes, finally was able to, you know, collect your bearings and able to breathe. But that's also something I remember about that game. And in fact, we beat the Bills again. That was pretty cool.
That's awesome. I think, again, all of this stuff people eat up, and this is really interesting. Okay, so I want to go back to the gear because, like, that's the stuff that I'm a little bit more obsessed with than most people.
Oh, yeah,
so when you do an autograph signing, you know, because there's always the, like, when people buy autographs, if people buy them, there's, like, levels of authentication. Do you have to sign something if there's, like, an authenticator around? Like, what's the process like on your end with the person that's authenticating your signature?
Well, the last one I did, so what usually happens is that you go to one of these memorabilia shows. There was one here back, I believe it was back in December that we did, and it's fine. It was in Allen, Texas, and it was at this, convention center. So there's a bunch of Cowboys. So what they do is you bring in, you determine how many pieces of, you want to sign, cards, pictures, whatever, and they resell it. And so what they do is that they take a picture of you signing it, people buy tickets. And so that's how they authenticate it. All right. And then I think I have one coming up in February, same deal. The guy says, okay, I'm going to pay you X number of dollars to sign so many different pieces of article, but it's all authenticated. You know, they take a picture of it and everything to make sure that you, but I think it's pretty cool that people still, and look, to get back to going down that rabbit hole that you mentioned, I did not know this until yesterday, RJ. I'm on Instagram and I noticed something pops up. There actually is a page for the Dallas Cowboys of the 90s. And I did not know that. And I posted something out there. I'm like, you know what? We're still having to go back to the 1990s Dallas Cowboys. They have all these pictures and everything, and you know, just action, you know, videos and everything. And all the videos are all grainy and everything. And I'm thinking, we're tired of like living in the past. But
yeah,
that's one thing I just came across. But yeah, that's to answer your question. That's kind of long abbreviated to get off track a little bit. yeah, that's kind of the way everything it is. It's kind of in a little box, as you'd say.
Right. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
All right, that is, again, I find this part of football and sports to be super interesting. But so that's really cool. At what point in your career did you say, like, this is my signature? You know, because you have to sign your name, like, the same way, right? You know, so, like, at what point did you decide?
My,
like,
signature is...
It's different, or it's,
well,
not the same?
There is no substitute. My substitute, my signature is so bad. My penmanship, my fingers on one of my... I got a bad thumb and I got a bad finger. So my penmanship and signature is so scribbly. You cannot read it. You know, Ledger is just right. Horrible. So I know it's very distinct that when I see the signature, although you could probably, no, I'm not even going to say that, plagiarize it, because it's so, it's a scribble.
Right.
But yeah, I know what my signature looks like because I've written it so much and it's just so bad.
What's the coolest thing you've ever signed? So, like, I have a photo. My dad, the first Cowboys game my dad and I went to, we got a photo with Jason Witten. And the next year, we went back a year later, we knew we had an autograph signing with him. So we took that photo. You know what I mean? So, like, a billion people have, you know, autographed jerseys from Jason Witten, but yeah, like, nobody in the world has a photo of the three of us. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's cool. But what's the coolest thing you've ever signed?
Well, I think as far as being unique, there was a car club, Dallas Cowboy car club, and all their vehicles are customized in Dallas mm-hmm. Cowboy. I mean, we're talking about just ridiculous. I mean, some of these reality shows you watch, and, you know, people customize cars and paint jobs.
Right.
And so all these cars are just customizing, and it'd be amazing. So there's a truck that had all, I mean, it was just, I don't even want to guess how much the guy paid for the paint job, but he said, hey, I want you to sign my door.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, really? So I believe signing a car that just had was just, I mean, it was dope when it came to what it looked like.
Yeah.
Because it was just customized. I've never seen that. I'm like, I'm going to touch that. It's like someone asks you to sign a $100 bill. I mean, what do you want me to sign? Because, I mean, $100, I mean, you may want to spend that sometime. But that and... probably the old Texas Stadium seats. Those things are really cool when people show up with one of the seats that they bought at the old yard, and you sign those. That's pretty unique to be able to sign something like that. But I mean, I've been when you go, I know my best experience is going down into the valley in Mexico, you know, not Mexico, but in Texas, and really the fans that bring out different things. And it's pretty unique at some of the people that you meet, but yeah, I mean, I there's a laundry list of different things, man.
That's awesome. Okay. My last question on this rabbit hole, we'll talk Super Bowl memories again next week
when
the game's
week,
closer.
Absolutely.
But before we get to kind of this year's game, do you have, or like, what's the protocol for keeping your stuff, like your helmet and your uniform? Like, what, like, you know, like, what do you, like, the season ends and you're just like, I'm taking this, like, what's the
I think that I took all my helmets, I took my cleats and everything, but you got to remember, that's been a long time ago. So what happens to me is that all the stuff was up in my attic, and I still have things, and You'd be surprised at stuff I just had to part ways with. I mean, I have stuff hanging out in my garage because it's just, there's no place to put it.
Right.
And I'm thinking it's kind of nice to look around, but I've been looking at this stuff for so many years. Mm-hmm. So I think what I have means probably a lot more than, you know, to other people because they haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. And maybe I take it for granted because it's just my stuff and my team stuff and, you know, different pictures of different people. But I think now there's a little bit more emphasis on game used jerseys, helmets. I mean, looks, what was it when Tom Brady won 3 years ago and they lost his Super Bowl jersey that was worn, maybe in two, remember that? And someone had taken the jersey.
Right.
And the jersey was valued like $500,000. You remember that?
Of course I remember that. That was at Super Bowl 51. That's the only Super Bowl I've ever been at. That was crazy.
Oh, well, I'll do the math on that. So that was, what was that, his sixth Super Bowl he played in?
That was the sixth. That was the sixth win. Yeah, that was the 28-3 comeback. Yeah.
Consider he's playing in his 10th Super Bowl. So that was only Super Bowl six. But certainly now the emphasis on that. And I did see something where, like, the cards, the value in that is just because, I don't know if it's a pandemic, but the value in cards that you have is starting to praise a lot higher now. So that's kind of interesting. And so one more thing, and I know we're going to get into the Super Bowl and us being the Cowboys, and I say that being out for 2.5 decades, is that upstairs I still may have, unless my son, Doug, I still have like 2 or 3 boxes of Topps cards and that are just all these different cards. And so I'm going to have to go up there and just kind of make this discovery. You know, how do you see these people that like go upstairs in their attic and then they find this card or whatever. I mean, there's no Mickey Mantle cards up there, but so I'll have to go up there and just kind of venture out because I did hear that the value in cards is going up because of the pandemic. So yeah, it's cool, man. It really is. And it's just, the older you get out of it, it's the novelty honestly wears off.
Yeah. Now that makes sense. And I could see, maybe being annoyed is not the right way to put it, but like it has to be frustrating, I guess. Like I know they lost, but to this past weekend see Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas and Andre Reed talking about the Bills and the AFC Championship game and getting to be, you know, the crew that's like part of all that when you guys are kind of like, we're down, like, if you know, go, come on Cowboys, go to the Super Bowl or go to the NFC Championship game so we can do all the talking that the Jim and Thurman and Andre are doing. And so I don't know, I think
one thing I don't really envy those guys is that they were in 4 of them and they don't have nothing really to show of. But look, the fact that they're gotten back and its relevancy. Hey, I do these hits with Mike Ducey. He is a sportscaster in the Dallas market, you know, on Fox. Yeah. And we were doing this hit last night and he's asking me, so what do you, you know, you see the teams that are playing in the Super Bowl. And he mentioned, you guys, it's been 25 years since the Cowboys have been in the Super Bowl. I mean, what's word comes to mind? I said, bitterness.
Right.
Because I think I can speak for myself as a former player that played on those teams, but think about the fans. Think about the fans in the generation now that really don't know anything about the Cowboys 25 years ago, because a lot of them weren't even born, but still living off that brand and what Jerry has done and don't have anything to show for it.
Right.
So I thought that to me was kind of how I felt. I'm not speaking for you or other people that may watch our podcast, but yeah, I am a little bitter about that.
I think it's certainly frustrating. And like every year,
maybe more frustrating than bitterness, but
right.
You know.
But every year, like the number grows, right? Like it becomes all the more, like, think about it. It's been 25 years since the last one. Right. But like, think about it at the time, like look at the first 25 years of the NFL or of the merger, like in the first 25 years, the Cowboys had, you were about to, you know, start the dynasty, but the Cowboys had won 2 Super Bowls. They had appeared in 5 at the time. I mean, right. So, you know, like those 25 years were incredibly successful versus these 25 years. Like I put out, you know, you could do this a lot of different ways, but like something I always say is like the last time the Cowboys won the Super Bowl, Marvin Harrison was in college. And like, think of like Marvin Harrison had a whole NFL career, won a Super Bowl himself, retired, and then was enshrined in the Hall of Fame. When the last Cowboys Super Bowl, John Elway had never won a Super Bowl of any kind. And, you know, he obviously would win to, again, retire himself, sit out the necessary period, be enshrined in the Hall of Fame, start a whole new career in football in terms of, you know, the path to being a general manager, climb the ladder enough to like achieve that status and built a Super Bowl team of himself. And so like it is frustrating if that wasn't obvious. And so I think that, you know, I did a video on our YouTube channel on Monday about what the Cowboys can learn from the Chiefs and the Buccaneers. And obviously, it's super easy to make the Super Bowl when you have quarterbacks like Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, duh. But I think the lesson to be learned is to be active and to spend and to not be afraid. And you look at, like, the Chiefs are not the best example of this because they have so many kind of homegrown talents and they've just done a great job of evaluating that. But the Buccaneers, obviously Tom Brady is a exception, but you know, what did they do with Tom Brady? They said, okay, we're going all in. Here's Gronk. Here's Antonio Brown. The year before, they brought Ndamukong Suh in for Gerald McCoy. Like, I love Gerald McCoy and I hope the Cowboys bring him back. But I actually respect that the Buccaneers said, Gerald McCoy is a great player and has been for our franchise for a long time, but it's time to move on. And Ndamukong Suh at the moment in time is an upgrade over him. And we can't just hold on to Gerald McCoy because we love him. He's a family member, et cetera. That was a cold-hearted decision that they made. But you look at the interior of the Bucs defensive line and Vita Vea obviously really came on strong on his return in the NFC Championship game. But like, that's one of the things is like, you have to be active. You can't just sit and rest on your laurels and hope that everything just works out for you.
Yeah, I really think, but it starts with the quarterback, and that's the narrative for both these franchises. You have Patrick Mahomes, who is going to be eventually greatest of all time, and then you have the greatest of all time, best quarterback in the NFL right now, and then you have Tom Brady, who's just, you know, we mentioned, I mean, this is 20, is, you know, been in the league 21 years and been to two Super Bowls. I mean, people fantasize and dream about just being in one,
right?
And to put it all in perspective, but. And then you look at all these last, both the AFC and NFC championship game, it comes down to the quarterback. And then after that, once you get that in place, and that's when I think now this is a time that you have to get something done with Dak. That's the guy you believe in. And here's the thing also, I think, and I thought, and I know sometimes Rex Ryan on ESPN says some things that's kind of outlandish, and I respect his opinion because he's very opinion, but he made a good point. And I'm you may have read this on Twitter, on social media. He said that people went to New England to pay they wanted to play for Tom Brady and not necessarily Bill Belichick. And I start thinking about that, you know, and that resonates because you see about the players that they put together. There's one thing to have a quarterback that is good, but may not have the intangible things, leadership and. You know, you hear things about Tom Brady talking to, you know, the equipment staff and all the way up to, you know, all the, you know, the superstar players. It's that kind of dude. So you look at that. And I think for me, that speaks volumes because he's built that, obviously. But to the point about going out and spending money, at Kansas City, there's going to come a point where they're going to start paying dudes. And they're going to lose, you know, Tyreek Hill to me is just amazing. Travis Kelce is amazing. They went out and got you look at the running back situation, you know, they go out and get, was it Le'Veon Bell, right? Mm-hmm. And also someone made a point when they, you know, Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell are going to the Super Bowl, but not with Ben Roethlisberger. So there's so many things. But the point is that you have to be committed to one particular philosophy. You have to be patient and stick with it. And you can't get all, you can't let your emotions make your decisions. And I think sometimes we have a tendency to do that. I know the Cowboys have done that in the past, but it starts with the quarterback, RJ. And then from there, then you got to go get pieces to the puzzle defensively. Sure. As you mentioned, the Bucs, amazing as far as stopping the run.
Right.
I mean, that is the reason why, to me, they had good Tom Brady. But realistically, when you look at everything, defensively, they're the ones that really, really help you really immensely as far as winning big games like that.
I agree. And I mean, obviously Dak Prescott is not Patrick Mahomes. And I think, I know again that they lost, but like, I think the Bills are maybe a better like team for the Cowboys to copy, so to speak, because like you can get to the conference championship game with really good quarterback play. And that's what Dak Prescott offers. Is he Patrick Mahomes? No, but like he can be Josh Allen, you know, at his peak. And I do think, and I said this in the video, the Cowboys have surrounded Dak with great weapons offensively. I mean, they just drafted CeeDee Lamb, you know, for goodness sake, but they just cannot. And that the problem, we've had this conversation for like 20 years. It's, you know, do you know the last legitimate resource they spent at defensive tackle? You shared a photo with him at a mansion a few weeks ago. I mean, Russell Maryland was the last dude who the Cowboys like really spent a legitimate resource on in terms of, you know, the middle of the defensive line. They have ignored the safety position. And like, just think about, like, we're talking about Ndamukong Suh and Vita Vea were great for the Bucks. I don't want to take anything away from Shaq Barrett and JPP, but the reason that pressure off the edge just never goes away is because that interior part of it is never stopping either. I look at the Chiefs, Chris Jones, you know, and they gave him a big time contract a year ago. They went out and got Frank Clark, which I mean, has its own levels of debate, but you need that. It starts in the middle, and you can't just, and I mean this with no disrespect to them, you can't just continue to go with Antoine Woods and Dontari Poe. Like, you, if you want elite production there, you got to pay an elite price. And I think the other, you know, point of emphasis is the secondary. I mean, Tyrann Mathieu is a player who the Cowboys said was not a scheme fit, and that has blown up in their face because he changes what the Chiefs do defensively. And I'm not saying get a defensive tackle, get a safety, and every problem is solved for the Cowboys, but if you just continue to trot out average dudes there, it's going to be the same thing, even if you have Dak Prescott playing at an incredibly elite level.
Yeah, and I think Jerry and I think whoever the GM, Stephen Jones, they like to load up on the offensive end. I mean, that's what they've been known for. They'll go out there and spend money on players, and I think that's the continuation of the brand for them, is to, you know, build off the sexy position and really just try to get by on the defensive side of the ball. And look, the scheme is not going to help you win. You got to have players. And you know, to me, I think that I've always said this. It starts right there on the front seven, the front four. I mean, that's the emphasis. And, you know, those guys are hard to find sometimes, but you have to take chances. You know, sometimes you got to swing for the fence, and hopefully maybe you'll get a home run. Maybe you'll get a triple. But you'll get some consistency within this team. I think the secondary, especially in the game of the way the game's evolved, the safety especially, I mean, you really have to find a hybrid type of guy. I mean, those guys, they're hard to find, but you got to have a guy that can play in the back end and make good decisions and then come up on the line of scrimmage. And with these quarterbacks that are dual threats that can move, you know, it's difficult. But you have to really just try to be consistent. Think about that, RJ. When if you're consistent enough, I mean, we saw Dallas this year. They were consistently bad. There was no average. I mean, I'd rather have average than below average. Okay. Yeah. And then if you're average, you can become more, you can be a playmaker. You can, at times you can be above average. And the consistency there is something that they have not really had, especially last year, and something that they need to really try to find, because all these teams, and again, here we are talking about other teams in the playoffs, they all share the same elements. I mean, they really do.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. At the core, great quarterback play is there. It's extremely rare that a team gets to the Super Bowl without great quarterback play. But beyond, like, you cannot do that alone. You can't. Like, that's why both of these teams have incredible supporting cast, not just offensively, but defensively. And yeah, like, there are special, like you mentioned Tyreek Hill. There's nobody in the NFL like that. You can look under every rock and maybe you find one, but like, that's an impossible thing to replicate. And that's an advantage the Chiefs have, and it sucks, but I mean, it is the way that it is. Do you know, Tony, that the Cowboys will visit both of these teams next season? They will go to Tampa Bay and Kansas City.
Well, that's going to be a tough schedule. And if you already look at the tone, I mean, if you got those two guys on the schedule, I mean, right now going to season, you could probably say that may be two losses. I don't know.
Right.
We'll see. There's a lot of things to be had and done from, you know, this point until those two teams play again.
So we'll get into the game a little bit more in depth next week when we do some Super Bowl memories. But before we leave right now, early thoughts on who wins. Are you taking Kansas City to repeat? Or are you going Tampa Bay? Do you want to see the home team win? Like, where's your heart? Where's your head?
Well, my head is when I watch the Buffalo Bills, one of the biggest problems, and they could not score in the red zone. Mm-hmm. And if you're spotting Kansas City points, basically, and not putting up touchdowns in the red zones, you're going to lose. I mean, that thoroughbred's going to break the gate, and you're not going to be able to catch him. And that's exactly what happened. I like Tampa Bay. I like how their defense plays. I think that they can create turnovers. And look, Matt LaFleur found out the hard way. You know, you give Tom Brady threw three interceptions, but I think the damage was done before that. You saw at halftime, I mean, a guy's wide open and Tom Brady throws a dime.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like I the remarkability of Tom Brady, it made him just kind of like a man crushing on what he's doing. But Kansas City, I mean, Patrick Mahomes had there was no blemish on his play. I mean, from the concussion or his toe, the dude is phenomenal.
Right.
But I just think I like Tampa Bay. I think it's what a great story. I mean, look, I think it's going to be a closer game. I think what is Kansas City favorite, like 3.5. I mean, it's going to be a close game, but I like Tampa Bay's defense. I really think that they can create opportunities, and really it's going to be a team that, that I think Tampa Bay matches up well. And I like Tampa Bay going to this game, playing at home in their home park.
Yeah, I'm leaning Tampa Bay. It's close. I mean, it really is like a 51-49 thing for me right now. Maybe that changes over the next week. And obviously there's going to be a lot said and discussed about this game. But it will be very interesting, to say the least. Yeah, Tom Brady is incredible. Like at this point, I don't know why anyone is not enjoying Tom Brady. You know, like his dominance is just so special and so amazing. And that being said, I still haven't watched the Tiger doc, but who are you a bigger fan of all time? Tiger, MJ, or Tom Brady?
Yeah, that's a great question. Now, the parallels of all those three guys that you just mentioned, Michael Jordan, regardless, he could find a way to close.
Right.
He put the game in his hand, regardless of age. I mean, he was timeless. Tiger Woods, the same thing, even with a bad back.
Right.
You get him in contention, He's not gonna implode mentally strong enough. And same thing with Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady does the same thing. I mean,
so who's your guy then? Who's your guy out of the three? You can only have one.
I'm gonna go with Tom Brady.
Wow.
And even LeBron. I mean, LeBron's
totally.
Obviously not 40, but you give those guys a chance, and you get guys around them that play for them. And I don't know. I never did really. I always thought that you have a great coach, you know, and you have a great quarterback, and you know, Troy was a tremendous quarterback, and we wanted to play for him. But, you know, Jimmy was instrumental in putting that the game. But I just think that guys want to go out there and ball for Tom Brady, and that's saying a lot about someone. Just like Tiger, more individual, but with LeBron, you know. Mm-hmm. And to have those type of traits and those intangible things where you can just – look, I don't care if I'm 50 years old, man. I've still been there, done that. I'm going to find one. It may not be physically – but mentally, I'm going to get in your head, and you're going to be thinking, look, you know, I got to remember who I'm playing,
right.
I'm facing. And at times that can be intimidating. You may overthink it just too much.
I think that's
I'm going to
well
go Tom Brady, though.
I'll go Tiger. And I think, like, it's so hard to equate because golf is an individual sport. But I think we see, like, kind of what you're talking about. Like, obviously dudes want to play for Tom Brady, which is awesome. Like in President's Cups or Ryder Cups, you see that, like, how fun it is for dudes to play with, like, with, and like when Tiger was a captain the last President's Cup, like, you see that same kind of thing, which is really cool. Well, Tony, thanks for taking us down the rabbit hole. Next week again.
Man, this is great. I could do this all – we could do this all day long and just go down the rabbit hole of memories. But next week, we'll definitely get into some fun.
Next week, we'll talk about Super Bowl memories, what it's like to be there.
That's all we got now, right? So
what? That was a bitter note to end on. Okay.
Get your Google page out, man, and let's go down the memory lane.
We're heading down memory lane next week. We'll see you all then. This was the 750.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.